Well, a number of years ago, I had a misstep that was very painful. God bless you. And I want to tell you about it today. So a number of years ago, on a Sunday morning, I didn't have any church responsibilities. So it was a beautiful summer morning, and I decided I'm going to spend some time out on our patio. So I grabbed a cup of coffee, I grabbed my phone, and I went to step out of our sliding door onto our patio, and I stepped on something with my bare foot. I stepped on something that felt like a knife going into the bottom of my foot. And I looked down, and it was a hornet, and it wasn't one of those little hornets. It was like one of those big ones. They called cicada killers or something. I know we have to be so dramatic about it, but yeah, cicada killer. But I stepped on it, and I'm like trying to make sure my coffee doesn't spill. I spilled a little bit, but my phone ends up launching out of my hand in kind of like slow motion, and then it lands on the concrete patio, and I go to pick it up, kind of, you know, hobbling over to get it, and the screen is cracked. And I think that was more painful than my foot. And I was thinking about that moment, and it's like, when those kind of things happen, it's like we have some options, right? I could get mad at God and say, God, why did you allow this to happen? Why didn't you just help me step over that? I could have gotten mad at Kelly that she didn't, you know, tell me, hey, watch your step when you go out to the patio. There might be a hornet out there. But I have to say, if she would have told me that, I probably wouldn't have been, oh, thank you so much. It's like, no, I know how to walk. Like, you don't have to tell me to watch my step. But so often in life, missteps are due to carelessness. Or maybe we could say carelessness so often leads to missteps. And the way to avoid missteps or carelessness is to obtain wisdom and knowledge and to seek godly wisdom and counsel. For some reason, it is not always intuitive for us to seek out. And I know that's kind of a silly illustration, but we need this godly wisdom to help guide our steps. And the life of faith all throughout scripture is compared to a walk, right? Walk with the wise and become wise. Walk in integrity. I mean, even following Jesus is this picture of walking with Jesus. And so we're on this journey of understanding what is godly wisdom. And godly wisdom simply is biblical knowledge applied. And so we want to gain godly wisdom. And where do we gain godly wisdom? In God's word. And so often God uses other people to speak to us and to give us wisdom. And so as we're going on this journey, my prayer is that we would gain and grow in how to build godly wisdom for our lives. So today I want to look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Throughout the series, we're going to be looking at New Testament writers. We're going to be looking at what Jesus says about wisdom. We're going to look at what Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, says about it. And I believe that the combination of that, of God's word, the Spirit of God, is going to help us grow. So Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to a church. So he's writing to followers of Jesus. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, this really isn't written to you. But if you have some interest in what it means to follow Jesus, I would encourage you to lean in, because it helps us understand, how do we live as followers of Jesus? So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes this. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts, just like we were doing today. And give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot in there. I love that. Simple, but it's just a beautiful passage of scripture. I wonder what phrases jumped out at you as we were reading that. What jumped out at me in that phrase as I was preparing for this message is that phrase that says, make the most of every opportunity. So be careful how you live. Another translation says, walk carefully, walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. make the most of every opportunity. That is really jumping out of that. And I'm thinking, how do we make the most of every opportunity? For the days are evil, so there's some level of urgency around this. I probably don't have to convince you that we're living in evil days. I mean, if they were evil when Paul wrote this back in the first century, how much more it is today. So we don't spend time trying to convince ourselves, yeah, the days are evil. But because of that fact, make the most of every opportunity. So today, what I'd like us to wrestle with is, how do we walk in this godly wisdom to make the most of every opportunity? And I want to give you three steps today for how we can make the most of every opportunity. So if you're taking notes, here's where we're going to start. I'd encourage you to write this down. Number one, address laziness disguised as busyness. Address laziness disguised as busyness. I know when I look back at my own life, there have been times when I've been really busy, but I wasn't really accomplishing anything. And you might be thinking, laziness, why are we addressing laziness? I mean, we're in Lancaster County, right? I grew up in this county. I know we know how to work. There's a great work ethic here, but you know, there's a difference between being busy and being productive. And so often we can fill our lives. The way I would classify laziness is not just, you know, sitting around doing nothing. I mean, that's just a surface level of laziness. Really what biblical laziness and what we're gonna look at in the book of Proverbs is an unwillingness to do what God has created and designed you to do, and instead just fill your life up with a bunch of meaningless tasks. So I wanna look at Proverbs, what Proverbs says about this whole idea of laziness. So go to Proverbs chapter 6. Solomon, arguably one of the wisest kings, he writes this, and I find it a little bit humorous and a little bit offensive at the same time. But Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. I don't appreciate that. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Let me just stop there for a moment. Because Solomon, the way he was gaining wisdom, you know, today, if we want to learn things, we go to the internet, right? Well, before the internet, there was the ant. So Solomon went to the ant to learn about being wise. And what did he observe? What did he see about these ants? So I did a little deep dive into ants. I've learned some fun facts about these insects. And are you interested in hearing some? Yeah. So thank you. So one that's really interesting is that ants, they can carry up to 50 times their own weight. So that would be like for me, I could carry, if I was an ant or had that level of strength, that ability, I could carry about 10,000 pounds. Yeah, I just told you my weight. I know, it's kind of embarrassing. But so that's impressive, right? Ants, they can carry about 50 times their weight. Everything they do is for the good of the colony, right? They're not doing something for their own good. So you look, watch these ants, it is always for the good of the colony. And they have no ruler, they have no organizer, they don't have somebody giving them productivity tips or sales goals or none of that. The only thing on their little ant-sized brains is this: gather food in the summer to store for the winter. And Solomon is looking at them and he's seeing them as some kind of example for us to learn wisdom. And so he does that. Let's continue verse 9. But you lazy bones, it's kind of comparing the reader to these hardworking ants. It says, you lazy bones, how long will you sleep? When will you wake up? A little extra sleep, a little more slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, then poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. Scarcity will attack you like an armed robber. So again, Solomon is not just trying to address the surface level of laziness. You know, don't just sit around and do nothing. I mean, that's important not to do that. But really what Solomon is addressing is a mindset. When he says, you know, a little more sleep, a little more slumber, a little more, the folding of the hands. It's talking, he's referencing mindsets, and there's three different mindsets that laziness represents. And I'm gonna give them to you. Ignorance, indifference, and inaction. Ignorance, let's start there. Ignorance does not mean a low IQ or that you don't have any intelligence or knowledge. Ignorance is ignoring what God has given you, what he's given me, what he's given us. So just like completely ignoring whatever God has given, that he's not the source. So it's looking at and ignoring what you have, the money or the time or the skills, knowledge, experience, the connections, relational connections, the current options or opportunities, our health. It's just completely ignoring what God has given. That's a little bit of sleep, a little bit of slumber. He's not talking about don't take a nap or it's bad to sleep in. He's saying not only is ignorance bad, but then indifference. So it's not just ignoring what God has given, but it's being a complete lack of interest to what God has created you to do. And then he addresses a little folding of the hands. He's talking about inaction, not doing what God has created us to do. And so we want to address laziness that can be disguised as just filling our lives with these meaningless tasks and make sure that we're seeing, okay, what God, what have you given me? How can I use that to help other people? Because that brings us to step number two. Produce fruit for the benefit of others. Produce fruit for the benefit of others. And again, I want us to look at what scripture says about this. Go to John chapter 15, because these are Jesus' words about this. How do we produce fruit? Here's what Jesus said. He said in John 15, verse 1, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. So again, I just want us to think about there's a difference between being busy and being productive, which Jesus is calling out here. Verse 3, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Jesus continues, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's bullet point that out a little bit. Jesus is saying he is the vine, we are the branches. The followers of Jesus are the branches. So we are the branches, and branches are designed, created to produce fruit. So we are created to produce fruit. And what does fruit do? Fruit, the purpose of fruit is for the benefit of other people. Trees do not consume their own fruit. Trees grow fruit for others to benefit from. So Jesus is pointing to this mission, purpose, why we've been created was to produce fruit for the benefit of other people. So how? How do we do that? Well, the first thing Jesus calls to is to remain connected to Jesus as the source. Remain connected. Remain connected. How do we remain connected? Take you back to Easter. We just celebrated Easter, right? A couple weeks ago. Well, Easter morning here at Worship, we had three services, 7:30 a.m., 9 a.m., and 11. Well, I had to get here about 6:30 a.m., which means my alarm was set for about 5 a.m. because I wanted to run through my message. I always do on a Sunday morning before I arrive here. And so I was gonna be an early morning, but at 3 a.m., I am wide awake, which is very unusual for me, and I have to say I was a little bit annoyed at that because I'm like, come on, this is Easter morning. I need to be at my best. I need my beauty sleep, right? I need my rest. Easter is a big Sunday. So it's 3 a.m., and I have this little deal I made with myself that if I'm kind of awakened in the middle of the night, I'm going to, if it's longer than 15 minutes, I'm going to get up and just say, okay, maybe God's trying to get my attention on something. And so that was the case. I went downstairs. I got my journal out. I started journaling. I really felt like God gave me some very, you know, just as I was journaling, he gave me very specific, encouraging words that I needed. And I'm not going to share them with you today because it's personal. Right? And I don't have to share everything in my personal life with you. But you probably want to know, right? Maybe someday. But anyway, so I was up from like 3 to 4 a.m. And then I'm like, I'm going to back to bed. And I fell back asleep and got up at 5 and we had our morning. But I was thinking about that later that day. And I was like, you know, it was kind of a prayer, but kind of just a thought in my mind. I'm like, oh, why do you have to wake me up in the middle of the night to speak to me? Why can't you just speak to me during the day? And I felt, this might have just been a thought of mine, but it kind of felt like it was the Spirit of God, just an impression. I felt like the answer that God gave me was, Matt, when it is the middle of the night, that's when I know I have your full attention. Yeah, it was an ouch. Because when you're awake, when I'm awake, we have lots of things to distract us. I have my responsibilities, I have my phone, I have all the things trying to steal my attention. But in the middle of the night, you know, God wants to have our full attention. I think that's why gathering is so important on a Sunday. And I know you're all here, so you probably agree with this. But when you set time aside in your schedule and gather together like this, it is a way we give God our full attention. And I believe that's why God speaks to us a little bit clearer. It's why maybe you feel a little bit of more emotion when we're worshiping together. It's not just because it's beautiful music, and it's not because we just have a nice environment here, although it is a great environment, but the Spirit of God, we're giving God, we're setting time aside from our busy schedule and saying, God, we need you. Have your way in our hearts and in our lives. We need you. We're gonna pray together. We're gonna give, we're singing, Holy is the Lord. I mean, I don't usually sing those kind of songs when I'm just by myself. Gather together and we're kind of joining in with the song that's already going on in heaven, Holy is the Lord. We get this little glimpse of heaven. We're giving God our full attention. Gathering together is important. Giving God our full attention is important. That's how we remain connected to the source. How else do we produce fruit? Second way is we'll be pruned. Pruned and purified by the words of Jesus. We begin to understand the teachings of Jesus and the Word of God, and it begins to prune us. How do we get pruned? Well, the words of Jesus will begin to uncover some things that we may need to change. What could be cut away? You know what pruning is? Cutting away something that's dead so that there's more life. For me, just recently, I'll give you an example. I'm someone who does enjoy listening to a lot of podcasts, and so, you know, I was kind of on this, I realized I was on this track that's like any spare minute I had my podcast on, right? I'm driving somewhere, like I listen to a podcast. I'm trying to exercise, I'm listening to a podcast. You know, I'm just doing yard works, so I got a podcast because I just wanted that one more nugget of truth or knowledge that could help me in my personal growth. And I listen to some podcast that gives analysis, is that how you say it? Analysis on the news in the world. And I felt like I needed to pull back a lot, cut back on, it was pruning. Cut back on listening to so many, you know, especially on the news. You know what news is now? It's like analyzing what analysts and how they analyze what other analysts said on what actually happened. And it's like, what is that phrase? We're experiencing paralysis by analysis. I don't think we were designed to just have so much information and so much analysis on what's happening in the world. And so for me, I needed to cut that out. And you know what I did? It wasn't just cutting that off. It was actually replacing it with something. And I replaced it sometimes with worship music. And get this, sometimes I even replaced those podcasts with quiet. Sometimes I just drove in my car by myself and it was quiet. Silent. That's another way that God can speak to us. So what might it be for you? Might be a good question to ask. What could you cut out of your life right now that may be dead that makes a way for something living, something that's gonna be life-giving. It's not just getting rid of something, but it's actually opening up space in your life for something that God may want to do in your life. Pruned for and purified for more fruit. And that brings me to number three. I want to walk carefully by the power of the Holy Spirit. We go back to that scripture we read in Ephesians 5. Paul said, walk carefully, right? Not as fools, but as wise. Don't be foolish. Live like a wise person lives. Make the most of every opportunity. And then he goes to this direction. I just think it's so fascinating. I'd love to dig into this a little bit more. He says, don't be drunk with wine. That will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So when I see those, I think, okay, why is Paul comparing being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit? Is there some kind of connection there? Because he could have said, don't be drunk with wine. Instead, read the Bible. Or make sure you go to church. Or make sure you stop listening to podcasts and you listen to worship music and stuff. Right? He could have filled that with anything, but he said, don't be drunk with wine. That'll ruin your life, but instead be filled with the Spirit. I wonder what it is. And this is just my opinion and my observation, both on human behavior as well as studying scripture. But I wonder if there's something inside that way that God created us as humans that we desire, we look for some kind of substance to help us cope with the pressures of life. And as humans, we look for something to fill that void, and it's only the Spirit of God that can give us the strength and the power we need that we can actually walk in wisdom. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, that was a very polite clap. I appreciate that. But what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts, just like we did today. But even beyond that, it's having this attention, recognizing that God has anointed you for a very specific assignment. And I know there are a lot of different connotations around the word anointing. And maybe feel like, oh, that's kind of an old school word, but it really, I mean, I guess in some ways it is old school because the Bible talks about it a lot. But there's a lot of different connotations. But I love how Eugene Peterson talks about anointing. And he's the one who wrote a translation of the Bible called The Message. He's written a lot of books. He said, the anointing it is given so that you can fulfill a specific assignment for your life. And he points to examples in scripture, King David. David was anointed as a young person, as a teenager, to be the next king of Israel. And you know what his next step was? To go work for the current king. He went right to work. And he learned and developed skills and his character that would prepare him for his job. Jesus is another example. I mean, Jesus in Luke 4, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. And this is what Jesus' mission was. This is what his assignment was, to bring good news, to proclaim the year of the Lord, the Lord's favor. This good news will set the captives free, give sight to the blind. Jesus was anointed to do what his assignment was. And I believe that same anointing that Jesus walked in and that David experienced is the same one that you can walk in and we can walk in for your unique assignment. Listen, if you are a parent, God has anointed you to be a parent. If you are in business and you are wired to be a business person, God has anointed you to lead that business. You don't have to do it in your own strength. Walk carefully by the power of the Holy Spirit. If you are a teacher, if you're an instructor, if you're somebody who is bringing education to young people, God has anointed you to do that. You don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to look for some kind of mind-altering substance to help cope with the pressures that come with our jobs and our tasks and our assignments. You can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever unique assignment God has given you, He will anoint you to do it. So we're talking about how to walk in godly wisdom, to make the most of every opportunity. I don't know what God may be speaking to you, but I want to give you some time to just let this settle in. So would you just bow your heads for a moment and just to quiet ourselves and just to simply ask, hey God, what are you speaking to me? Maybe this whole idea of being busy, just filling your life up with busyness, maybe it's time to take a hard look at that. Because there's a difference between being busy and being productive. Maybe God will be speaking to your heart about pruning, cutting something out that would make way for something better. Podcasts aren't bad, helpful. I learned a lot through podcasts. But it was becoming dead weight. It was taking up time that I could be putting into something that was more valuable. Maybe it's evaluating, maybe it's time to evaluate, are we connected to the source? Are we giving God our full attention? Are there moments in our lives where we're giving him our full attention? We're not distracted by the pressures, responsibilities of this life. Maybe you need to be filled with the Spirit today. It starts with a desire, just simply saying, God, I need your power and your strength. Can't do this on my own. And if you have been looking to substances to cope with life, I'll say this as gently as I can, but that's a counterfeit for the Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank you for speaking to us today. And I believe it's your word that has the power to transform a human heart, a human life. God, we need your mercy, we need your grace, we need your strength, we need your power. And I pray that our hearts would be open. Show us where we need to change. And I pray we'd have the courage to follow through. To just stay in a moment of prayer and searching your heart. Our team is going to lead us in a song. And there's a simple phrase in this that says, I belong to Jesus. Sin will never conquer me. Fear will never conquer me. Not because of my own strength, but because I belong to Jesus. As we're singing this, you may be here and you're like, man, I never really made that decision. I don't know what I belong to Jesus really means. I want you to know that Jesus died for you because he loved you, loves you. He's got an incredible plan and purpose for your life because he loves you. And his love is unconditional, limitless, not based on how good of a job we've done or how bad of a job we've done in life. With this salvation, when we surrender our lives to Jesus, that salvation is a foundation for our lives that just cannot be shaken. It's a representation of his love. It's a reality of his love. It's a demonstration of his love. And so as we're worshiping, I just want you to receive a deeper understanding of the love of God through Jesus Christ. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray and surrender your life to Jesus. You're here and you've never made that decision. Man, I want to belong to Jesus. Bible teaches us when we confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead. We repent of our sins, turn from our selfish ways, follow Jesus, that we become a new creation, spiritually reborn. Every person is given that invitation. And every person can either accept it or reject it. If you're here today and you're ready to accept that gift of salvation, I want to lead you in a prayer. And maybe you grew up in church, or maybe you're new to church. Maybe you're feeling like, I just need to get a few things more cleaned up in my life before making this decision. And I would just say, when you make this decision, you come to Jesus. He's the one who cleans up your life. You don't need to. So I'm just gonna ask you just to bow your heads for a moment. Nobody looking around. This is a sacred moment. If you're here and you're ready to make that decision to follow Jesus, it's a life-altering decision. I'm gonna lead you in a prayer. I'm just gonna invite you to pray this out loud after me. And I'm gonna invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he came to this earth, died on a cross, was buried in the ground, and rose from the dead for me. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. So I repent of my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and place my faith in Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Now my old life is gone and a new life has begun today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That's the power of the gospel. If you're here and you've prayed that prayer, the ushers have a gift for you that's a Bible and a devotional, some other material. If you've made that decision today, would you just put your hand up in the air till an usher sees you and hands you that gift, that Bible? We had a few people respond in the 9 a.m. service, and so, yeah, we had a couple hands here. That's the best decision you will make, because it sets your life on a new path. And so I was saying we had some people respond to 9 a.m., so you're not alone. You might look around and think, man, everyone has their act together except me. That's not the case. None of us have our act together, right? We could all just acknowledge that. But we do want to walk with you. So if you received a Bible, there's a card in there. Please fill it out. We'd love that information so we can walk with you. And stop by Connections. We have a team in there that would love to talk with you and pray with you. This journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. So please, I would encourage you to stop by Connections. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I pray that it encourages you and challenges you to grow, helps you grow in godly wisdom. Need prayer for any reason, we'll have a prayer team down front. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. We'd love to help you get connected. And have a fantastic week. Next week is part 3 of this series. I hope you can be here. Have a great week. Let's stay connected.